In this edition of In the Trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics, we catch up with Mike Hilton. Nothing was given to Mike Hilton. Mike Hilton came out of Mississippi undrafted. Jacksonville Jaguars cut him. New England Patriots put him on the practice squad. He gets claimed by the Pittsburgh Steelers to their practice squad. Then all of a sudden he gets a chance and he takes advantage of his opportunity. He is a great example of the underdog just making good. Not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. Mike Hilton's a living example of that, and I think you'll find out what makes Mike Hilton tick as we visit with him. You're going to like this. Thanks for joining us in the trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics. And we're in our unbelievable studios as always. And we have an even more unbelievable guest with us today. The Cincinnati Bengals went to the Super Bowl 56, AFC champions, and a guy, major contributor and a winner in every sense of the word. And the back end of the Bengals defense, slot corner, defensive back extraordinaire, Mike Hilton. Great to have you, sir.
Man, thank you, Dave. I appreciate it, man.
So I know you fit the mold of what the Bengals organizationally are looking for, in that football is very, very important to you. I mean, it's what your life's all about. And to talk about that. Why is football so important to Mike Hilton?
Man, it's just the game I've been loving since I was five. You know, that's when I started playing, and I just fell in love with the game. I remember all the memories of going to Falcons games growing up, you know, just always watching football with my dad and brother, man. And I fell in love with the game, and I still feel the exact same now at 28 as I did when I was five. So, you know, it's a blessing, and I just, you know, I don't take the game for granted.
So, Atlanta Falcons fan, you played your high school football at Tyrone, Georgia, Sandy Creek High School. Yep. Football, people talk about how many great players there are in Florida and how, you know, real big high school football is in Florida. It's big in Georgia too now.
Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt. How good was the football team? What was the program like in Sandy Creek for you?
Oh, man. Out of my 4 years, I won two state championship rings. So, you know, I was pretty successful there. And we had some, you know, some real good guys. The biggest guy that came out of our high school was Calvin Johnson. And yeah, you know, and his coach was the dad of my coach during high school. So he would come around, you know, see him at practice and stuff. That was always cool for high school kids at that point. So, you know, that Sandy Creek, man, we were a legit program in Georgia.
So you end up going to Ole Miss, and you were part of a run that was extraordinary at Ole Miss. I mean, you guys had some talent. You had some football players. You played 49 games there, 39 starts, put up some big numbers, played corner, played like a rover position there. The thing that impressed me, though, as I was doing some research on you, and because I remember when this happened, you wore your senior year, you wore the number 38 jersey, and Chucky Mullins was paralyzed trying to make a tackle, and he basically shattered four vertebrae and paralyzed. And I mean, he's like a legend at Ole Miss in all the right ways. And you earned the right to wear that number 38 jersey. That is a huge accomplishment. What was that like when it was like, okay, here we go, Mike, you're wearing number 38 in honor of Chucky Mullins your senior year.
Man, that's probably the biggest accomplishment in Ole Miss football history. You know, it's one of those things where when you come to that program, you know, that's one of the first things you know about Ole Miss. Is, you know, what Chucky Mullins meant to just the community, what he meant to the football team, and just knowing, you know, when the coaches decide to give me that number, it just showed they're trusting me to lead guys on and off the field. You know, off the field, just making sure guys are doing what they're supposed to. You know, at this point, going to class, doing everything. And then on the field, you know, just being the guy that the team can lean on in, you know, situations to go make plays, to be the guy to help, you know, change that momentum. So it was something I take pride in. You know, I was very blessed to wear that number.
You know, you had an outstanding career at Ole Miss, and you don't get invited to the combine. No. And ultimately you don't get drafted, but you are a great example of It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog, man. Because, you know, everybody said, size, you know, this. And that. Oh, you know, you end up going to Jacksonville as a free agent and then over to New England. And then ultimately with the Pittsburgh Steelers, where Mike Tomlin says, we got a ball player here. How big is Mike Tomlin in your life, in your career?
Oh, man, I got so much respect and admiration for Coach Tomlin. You know, I've been watching him growing up, just watching the game of football, you know, just seeing him be the coach of Pittsburgh for a long time. You know, I was always excited when I first signed there, just knowing playing for that type of coach, man, and knowing the type of players coach he is. You know, he's really involved with his players, and you can just tell that he loves what he does, and, you know, he's been doing it for a long time. So I got the utmost respect for Coach Tomlin.
What did you think? I mean, how did your approach? Had to be a huge disappointment not getting drafted, but then you get an opportunity at Jacksonville. Take us through how you worked your way, you know, in the early stages of your professional career to the Pittsburgh Steelers. What did you have to go through there?
You know, number one, you know, being an undrafted free agent, you got a longer road to climb than most. But going there, you know, I would say it was actually good for me, you know, being cut, just getting that true NFL business experience early and understanding, like, I'm not the first to go through it and I won't be the last. So just knowing, just going through that whole process, I feel like it was good for me. But it definitely put doubts in my mind about football, but the support system I have at home definitely kept me going. And, you know, when those other opportunities called, you know, I just took advantage and here I am today.
Who was there any player or teammate or former teammate or anybody that you leaned on for mentorship, you know, as you were going through the early stages of your professional career? Was there anybody that reached out to you that way?
Not exactly, but I will say when I got to Pittsburgh, Will Gay took me under his wing, you know, him, especially him being a nickel. And so I learned a lot from him, not just on the field, but off the field. So he was a guy definitely early in my career that I looked up to and, you know, I still talk to this day. And like I said, he's a guy that definitely helped me in my journey.
So with that said, are you going to pass that on? You got some young defensive backs that were drafted here by the Cincinnati Bengals. Are you going to mentor these guys? Are you going to be to them what Will Gay was to you?
Absolutely, man. I'm here to help, you know, because we expect those guys to come in and help us win. So me being a veteran, I'm going to give them every little tip, every chance I get. So I'm going to make sure I'm doing my part as a leader, is to help get the young guys ready. And, you know, just tell them to follow my lead. You know, you'll have your opportunity, but just listen to all the veterans, not just me, of course, but listen to Jesse, listen to Vaughn, Cheeto. Like, we got a real good group, an experienced group, so it'll be big for them.
So what was it like in week 12 against the Pittsburgh Steelers where you have a 24-yard pick six? I mean, that was your first score in the National Football League. Yeah. And come against a team that, you know, you really you both had mutual successes. Let's put it that way.
Man, it was big personally. It was. Number one, just knowing that it's a division game against those guys. You know, if I played for somebody else, it might not have felt as good. Right. But just knowing it's in the division, it means a lot. You know, it was a big feeling for me, man, and it felt good. All the guys were excited for me. So it was definitely a big moment.
The thing, I respect your game so much. I mean, gritty, I think, you know, is a term that's often overused. But, man, I think you personify gritty. There's no doubt about it. You might be as sure a tackler as I've seen in the secondary. I mean, in your short speed quickness, your reaction quicks are outstanding. You can track a football, you know, really, really well. Those are some of the traits that I see in you. What do you think that you do best? Why do you think you've had success, as much success in the National Football League as you've had, Mike?
Man, it's really just being confident in myself, number one. Knowing I'm out there with the best of the best, you know, just me being on that stage, knowing I can compete with these guys. I just go out there, you know, play my game. I don't try to do anything extra, no matter who's in front of me or who I'm guarding. You know, I trust what God given me, and I trust what the coach's technique to put me in position to make plays. You know, at some point, my instincts will take over, and, you know, I put myself in position to do that. So it's been working well for me.
So last year, in late November, the Bengals are 7-6. What happened? Why did the football team collectively, individually and collectively, start playing their best football at the most opportune time? What do you think was the trigger? Was there one, or was it just, you know, you can't put your finger on any one thing? It was a myriad of things.
It's just us growing together throughout the season. Some of those losses were, you know, field goal, touchdown losses. You know, it wasn't like we were getting blown out or anything. So guys were still confident and know if we have a better play here or there, you know, the game could be totally different. So on that back half of the season, guys is really locked in and knew we had a chance to make the playoffs. And we knew the back half of that schedule was definitely more of a gauntlet than probably the front end. So guys, you know, just locked in and, you know, we were successful and made a deep run.
Yeah, and boy, defensively, I mean, three interceptions, that was the norm, you know, every playoff game. Three picks by the defense, three picks by the defense again. I mean, defensively, that's about as good a run. You guys played about as well as you possibly could, didn't you? I mean, it was something to behold, man.
Yeah, man, we were just confident. We got hot at the right time. That's what I was telling guys. And that's the thing about the playoffs, man. You get hot at the right time, you definitely can make runs. And we knew as a defense, if we get Joe Burrow the ball, you know, he's going to do what he does. So we're excited about trying to climb that mountain again this upcoming season.
So the draft only ends up being 6 draft picks because of trades, moving up, trying to get people that they target and all that sort of thing. And 5 of those 6 draft picks are defensive. And there's some college free agents that were signed. You guys now are working out with those rookies, both drafted and undrafted, this week to start things off. And you're going to be doing that for a little while. What do you see? I mean, do you think that there's been some additions to this Bengals roster that can help the football team? And honestly, let me ask you about offensively too. I mean, the offensive line additions, then what you've done on the defensive side of things in the draft. Are you encouraged by what you've seen out there when you guys have been out there this week?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just starting with the offense, man. Everybody knew where our weakness was. And, you know, the front office went out there and jumped on it quick. So I was excited when we signed all 3 of those guys and then drafted one later in the draft. So I'm excited about those 5 meshing and getting ready to protect Joe. And on the defensive end, you know, a lot of speed. It's definitely a lot of speed from those DBs, man. They're all willing to learn. Dax is probably – He's been hard. He's been definitely a guy that's trying to make sure his mental is right, make sure he's got everything down at the playbook. He's been communicating well when we're going through walkthroughs, so that's a great sign. So we're just excited about everybody joining, man, and know that they'll contribute.
You know, there's track speed, you know, and then there's functional football speed. And when I watch some of these guys, you know, the key is being able to run full speed and then stop, you know, and then sink your hips, get in and out of cuts and all that. And they seem to have not only recoverability speed, that, you know, that straight line track speed or whatever, but have good functional football speed as well, it looks like.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. Those guys get out there, break smooth. They got good feet. They know how to track the ball well. So we're expecting a lot from those guys early. So we know, like I said, the veterans, we're going to encourage them and, you know, make sure that they're ready.
So, Ja'Marr Chase, outstanding, unbelievable rookie season.
Yeah.
Is he scratching the surface? How much better can he get? I mean, is this guy, the sky's the limit for him?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. He took a year off from football before he came here, and now he's probably just not really getting in that football rhythm. He's about to go through a whole NFL offseason, so he has time to just really work up on his techniques and get better. So that's what we expect from him, man. You know, he had a great rookie year, and we're just excited about what else he can do for us.
You know, I remember I was fortunate enough to play on a Super Bowl team. We didn't win it, but we got to the Super Bowl 16, and we had an offensive coordinator who was very, very bright, you know, and he was kind of on the cutting edge. And I remember every week we'd go into the team classroom for the game plan presentation. I'd be like, man, what do we get this week? I know he's cooked something up, you know. It was always like there was some excitement about how's he going to utilize the weapons we've got. He started to get so creative. I see that with Lou Anarumo. I mean, he does a lot with you guys. You know, you guys walk into the team meeting room defensively, like, man, what's Lou got for us this week?
Definitely, man. We know in Wednesday come around, he's gonna have a game plan set for Sunday, man. And he's a guy that definitely know how to use all his weapons and put us in position to go make plays. And I feel like with the guys we've added, especially like I said, with the speed, you know, he can definitely do a lot of different things, put people in different positions, just keep offenses off balance. So we're excited to see what Luke can dial up.
How has the game evolved, even in the time frame, you know, that you've been involved in the National Football League? I remember talking with Lou here at one of the press conferences in the last couple of weeks, and I'm like, your base defense is not like a true base. I mean, he goes, no, you're right. We played nickel like 70%+ of the snaps. You know, we were in some form of nickel. So there's going to be multiple defensive backs back there. So many of you guys are positionless. You know, you can play, you know, deep safety. You can play in the slot. You can play outside corner, in the slot, all over the place, all these chess pieces. And when you have that type of scenario, that type of versatility and positionless players, I mean, it's like Lou's the mad scientist concocting some kind of formula, isn't he? It's crazy.
Oh, definitely, man. That's why I say I feel like we're going to keep a lot of offenses off balance, because one possession, they might see me at nickel. Next possession, I'm at dime backer on third down. Next possession, I roll to safety. Dak's in the nick. Like, it's just so much that Luke can do. You know, we're excited to see what he dials up, and we know he's going to have some good game plan.
I don't think I've ever seen a player as good at the level that Patrick Mahomes is, as unsure as he was in the second half of that that Chiefs game, the playoff game in Cincinnati. You guys, I mean, he was definitely didn't want to throw the football. Wasn't quite sure what he was seeing, man. I mean, it was amazing to watch. You guys shut that high powered offense down. I think it was like 50 yards or something in the second half. It was crazy.
Man, it was just, you know, we felt comfortable where we were at. We knew that stop by Eli was big. Number one, the touchdown by Samaje was big to give us some momentum. And then the stop by Eli to close the half was just the switch we needed. And we came out second half, you know, just disguised our coverage as well. Sometimes just man press, make guys beat us. And, you know, we forced Pat to hold the ball. Pressure was getting there. And we had a successful second half.
No doubt. With that success comes a schedule that is definitely challenging.
There's, of course,
well, I think the third toughest schedule in national football based on last year's one loss record. When you look at this, when you saw the schedule for the very first time, what was your knee jerk reaction? What was the first thing that jumped off the paper at you?
Well, everybody should know that week one matchup. The week one matchup for me personally. Right. That's number one. But it's just, you know, seeing all the primetime games we have. Like, I was expecting us to definitely get a good number of those. And we definitely got it. You know, we're a young team. We're up and coming. So people want to see us around the nation. And we have an opportunity to go prove ourselves nationwide. So we're excited about it.
You're right. The opener at Paul Brown Stadium against the Pittsburgh Steelers. First time in franchise history that have opened with the Pittsburgh Steelers in Cincinnati. And so there's a lot of intrigue there. And obviously it's a division, you know, rivalry, a big division game to start the season. That's big. There's no doubt.
Oh yeah. That can definitely set the tone for your season, man. Like, I've told the guys this 1,000 times to get to the playoffs, take care of our division. That's the, you know, most simple way. And what better way to start it off with a division game against Pittsburgh in our home stadium? So we'll be excited and we'll be ready.
You know, it's interesting as you look through it. Last year, you started off you played more road games than home games in the first half of the season. You had a Thursday night game early in your schedule last year. You have another one early in your schedule this year. You're on the road 4 out of your first 6 games, a lot of similarities. And then the second half of the season, it's tougher. Like you said, the second half of last season was tough, and you guys caught fire at the right time. Second half of this season is challenging as well, but 4 out of the last 6 games are at home. Yep. So there's a lot of similarities, you know, obviously different teams you're playing, but from a scheduling standpoint, there's some similarities there between last year's schedule and this year's schedule.
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm pretty sure people weren't expecting us to be as successful last season. So they feel like, you know, this year they want to put better opponents in front of us. And, you know, we're fine with that. You know, we only care what's going on in Cincinnati inside our locker room. So we know whether Monday, Thursday, Sunday, whoever's in front of us, we got a job to do, and we're going to go out there and do it.
And that's probably the biggest. What is the biggest challenge? And you've experienced this with your time in Pittsburgh, a lot of nationally televised games there where, you know, your body clock, the Bengals have played 1 o'clock Sunday, big percentage of their games for a few seasons. Now this year, totally different. Like you said, 5 nationally televised games, 3 piggyback doubleheader games. So half the schedule is, you know, at a different time slot. And then you play on Saturday on Christmas Eve. Yep. You play Thursday night. You play Sunday at 1, Sunday at 4:20, Monday night at 8:20. So, you know, you're all over the board. How big of a challenge is it to get your body clock, you know, adjusted like that as a player? What's your experience been like in Pittsburgh in that regard?
I mean, you know, it definitely has some effects, but, you know, at the end of the day, you still got to go out there and, you know, win the game. You know, no matter what time of the day it is, you know, you got to go out there, execute, do what you're supposed to, and, you know, take care of business. So we know, especially, like I said, we're young. So guys going to have a lot of energy and, you know, we definitely going to put it to use.
So, Mike, the AFC, it seems like every quarterback has migrated to the AFC. They're all in this conference, you know. The wide receivers, I mean, they're all coming to the AFC as well. Yeah. It's incredible. There are 16 teams in the AFC. I think, you know, 12 to 14 of them you could consider being a playoff contender. I mean, it's unreal, isn't it? It's how challenging is it to try to repeat? Never mind conference champion, but division champion. And what was the message in Pittsburgh when you guys were in that situation? What can you bring to the table for your teammates here, having experienced what you experienced in Pittsburgh with some prior experience?
Just making sure, you know, we know we got to take it one game at a time. That's most important. We can't look down the road at any different opponent. We got to take it one game at a time, man. Got guys understand to get back where we want to go, man. We got to be successful at what we do every Sunday or whenever we play, to be exact. But we're going to be prepared. You know, I'm just confident. I'm real confident in this group. I feel like last year playoff run was real good experience for us, and you know it's going to help us in the long run. And just for me personally, coming from Pittsburgh and you know dealing with it, it's the same. I just brought what I learned from there to here. You know, just making sure guys are focused. You know. Knowing we got to take it one game at a time, knowing it's the NFL, so no matter who we play, it's not going to be an easy win. So guys just, you know, they take my word, they trust me, and, you know, we just go out there and perform together.
Do you remember, was there a game where it kind of, in your mind, you thought, man, I knew we're pretty good, but we're pretty damn good, you know? I mean, do you remember looking at teammates and thinking, geez, you know, we might have something cooking here? Was there any particular moment?
Yeah, I'll say the first time we played the Chiefs. Like, it was the same situation as the AFC. Going down, we were down 14-0 both games early, 21-3 in the championship game. But just the first time we played them, we were down 14-0. And there was no panic on neither side. There was no panic. We knew we just had to lock in, you know, play our game and do what we're supposed to, man. And I felt like at that point that was the switch that definitely brought us that confidence that we can make a deep run, and we made a hell of a run.
What do you think the key to your defensive success was? I mean, you're very strong up the middle defensively with DJ Reader, Logan Wilson, you know, the safeties that play in Lou Anarumo's defensive scheme. It's like in baseball, you want to be strong up the middle defensively, catcher, shortstop, center field. Yeah. You guys were strong up the middle, but then you got to be strong elsewhere as well. But do you think that's the key? Do you think it starts in the middle of the football field?
Oh yeah, for sure, man. Because that's where you get pushed right up the quarterback. And we know with the pass rusher we have, if DJ can get some type of push up the middle, you know, it'll force him to get a deeper drop and let Trey, Sam, some of those guys do what they do best. So we know as a whole, as defense as a whole, you know, we got guys that know their jobs, know what to do and just go out there and execute. And, you know, one thing I did notice, there's no selfishness to this team, man, especially on this defense. We, as you can see, when one makes a play, we all celebrate and we're all excited for each other, and that type of stuff carries on.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, is there a defensive player that when you were growing up playing high school, college level, or even in the NFL as you started watching tape, is there any defensive player that you said, man, I'm going to try to emulate some of the stuff this guy does? Was there anybody that jumped out at you where you're going to try to take parts of their game that might fit your game?
So, yeah, I go back to when I was definitely younger. I was a big fan of Rondae Barber. Like, I love Rondae Barber. And what's crazy, when I went to Pittsburgh, that's exactly who Mike Thomas said I kind of reminded him of.
So really?
Hearing that, because he was his coach down there in Tampa during that time. And, you know, as a young guy hearing that, I'm like, that was a big confidence booster. So then if we take it to high school, college, I was a big fan of Tyrann Mathieu. I feel like we have a lot of similarities in how we play, you know, gritty guys, playmakers, can make plays on the ball. So, yeah, I would definitely say those two, I got a lot of respect and I look up to.
So would you say that a big part of your success has been understanding football to the level that you understand it? Do you kind of see it before it happens based on your preparation and your understanding of the game in general?
Yeah, absolutely. And that came with time. I know a lot more now in year six than I did in year two, year three. You know, it's just growing and having that experience and just learning what teams like to do, how teams like to attack you, and knowing your own weaknesses is most important. Yeah, you got to make sure your weaknesses become your strength so you can, you know, be steady all around.
Dave Lapham here, and every day I am grateful for my experience to have played professional football. As a player, I realize self-motivation, leadership, and appreciating your teammates are key. At First Star Logistics, you can use those same attributes to create the life you want for you and your family. Build your future by working hard, like I did. You'll see results both on and off the field. Call First Star Logistics today and be part of our winning team.